or reach out for people to come in. I wonder if I'm the only one that looks at everybody's info. I'm an info junkie. And anytime that someone doesn't have info, I hate to say it, but I well, can't trust them. That's not real, but I have way more people that have info than don't. Well, it's just like I don't know anything about those people. And it just doesn't encourage you to try to get them to make a chat or anything. Good. Go for it, Dan. Yeah, I've looked at Dan's info a number of times. It's always nothing, and I never talk in the conversation. Okay, we've got some people here. What I thought I was going to do this morning is look at, well, I probably wait until the actual time to talk about that. So what are we going to chat about? Let's start by reminding everybody that politics, there you go. But the profound difference between professional go players and amateur go players is there's no comparison whatsoever. And as amateurs, we have to settle for something a bit less than perfection. You're high. Me not being a pro, what you're going to get from me is ways of thinking, ideas, perspectives. I'm not much of one to show actual moves, because I'm not a pro. So what I'm thinking of talking about this morning is changes versus basic moves. And let's just look at a few things and define those terms. As a growth example, black plane hair is a perfectly valid move, but it's not basic at all. Playing on the side is valid, but it's not basic. So we like a morning move. And now basic move is somewhere in the empty corner. But flashes right here, just fine. It's a change. So the non-basic moves we call changes. And the basic moves we call basic. Someone just asked me how strong I am on KPS. I actually don't know. I've only had 3 rated tasks over the years. And each time, I've gone undefeated until my opponents start having the ability to beat me. I don't lose, but they start being able to beat me. And then I stop playing, which is a totally egotistical thing. But my first rated, I got the 3-down undefeated, second 1-3-down undefeated, and this time I'm a 5-down with a question mark. But again, that one's not very, I haven't played a lot of games, so that might come down. I don't know. Hey Jeff, I guess it's the strongest rating in the world nowadays. It used to be IGF was so strong. And Koreans, of course, have always been exceptionally strong. But as far as I know, KGF is the strongest. Yeah, Japan, I guess, nowadays is just about the weakest. And I'm supposed to be like 7-down or something, 7+ down in Japan. So we talked about basic play and changes. And what we're going to do this morning is know the basic move, but play a change. And we're going to see how that goes. So someone give me we're not going to play in the center. We're going to start at least our first move normal. Someone give me a normal starting move for black. R16. The most basic move for white now is the playing of the left, because there's an opening at c16. So upper left or lower left, because lower left you have 19 directions of movement in both directions. So this is probably the biggest, this is second biggest, and this corner is the one that's a real change. So up right here is my change. So someone give me a change for black now. D3 normal, D4 normal. Good basic moves. O3, here's a good change. That's a good change. Also, P17 is another change. Totally valid move. But it goes against the opening theory, but it's not. Don't conclude this to be small. Okay. You guys can do a quick vote on A or D. Give me a vote. Oh gosh, that's downright peaceful. So I'm gonna break up the board and play this way. I'm gonna play A. That was pretty equal. Now the basic move, and again, that's our main goal this morning, is to know the basic move. And that's the one that you ought to get used to playing. Learn how to play a basic game of Go. I gotta tell you, probably every person in this room does not know how to play a basic game of Go. So this is the basic move. When you four-force approach, approach and respond 95% of the time. While we're here, let's talk about why. In the upper right, one black, one white is equal. If black plays first, black can get more profit here than white. If white plays first, white gets more profit. So black, he prefers his profit in the empty corner because there's more profit than he has. I can get my profit over here, no problem, but it's normal. But when your finished corner, your one stone finished corner, that's the A, D, or C. These are the modern moves. Finishing the corner in one move. Very modern. When one of these stones is approached, we like responding. Not because we're weak, but because our opponent gets extra profit. Undue profit. So everything's fine, but now black has some extra profit to work with. That's beyond just normal profit. So, the basic move is to respond. There's no reason for the change here. But we're going to play a change, and white's going to play away. Someone tell me black's basic move. I might have a hard time knowing the big move here. My guess is that we want to punish white. That would be my guess. That would be the basic move. And if we play our change, then the game's going to get back a little more basic. So let's keep the basic move, because it's going to keep the game a little bit awkward, and that's what I want. It's produce a little bit of an awkward board position. Now, we don't have a choice. Only the basic move works. If we make a change, this is too big. We've broken the rules and we've gotten surrounded in some things. So we're going to have to follow. We can't make a change here. We have three choices. A and C both settle. B is the way to take center. I would say that A and C are the basic moves that we want to settle. So let's make our change and take Sente to play away. Okay, what's the basic move? R4, good. I like R4. I would say this is the basic move. Because it finishes what we started. For those of you who might not know shiseki, it's this way. Black has all the points, white has 0 points, and black has something. That's a lot for black. But white's okay. It's not like quite deep. And depending on the board position, we might want to take a cut. You know, that's the thing. So, that's basic. Let's make a change to the unfinished corner, which is off the jig, of course. White can better deal with the right. I think this is something where we can't make a change. We have to just deal with the right. Yeah, c7. Then you go back to this pattern again, which is the same pattern we saw, but Sempe has switched. Finishing this, I don't like moving along the side, because it just creates a very limited kind of deal. What if we fix our cut instead and run out of the center? This is good for the right side and for the left side and for the center. Okay. Now let's get back to black's basic move. Someone tell me. F17. Okay, let's start with just these. If you keep talking, it'll scroll up and I'll have to work, so don't make me work. Let's start with F17. This is, should I use the word mistake? I think I need the word mistake here. The top is not one of the big areas, because C17 is low and finished. Remember, third line, it's a statement of, I'm done, I don't want to play here anymore. Let me change that to the fourth line. Now F17 is fine. Because the fourth line says, I'm not done, I'm going to keep playing stones here. And just to, for people who don't quite understand that, the fourth line can be approached, and that black wants those points, he's got to come back down and finish. At which point, what is C16 doing at? Wasting life. So that's an important third line, fourth line distinction. So F17, mistake. Q7. C7 is already thrown there. F17, that's that one. C10. Yeah, left side is very good. White developing the center. He calls for white thickness. This is not a safe black stone. White could start attacking it immediately. So, he calls for the thickness. R10. Again, he calls for it. R10 is safer. Because now there's a connection underneath. At least in code. For the kicker. But all the same, it's not a, what you call a safe move. Yeah, so R10, C10, F4. F4 is one of those specialty moves. If I play along, I'm a little hesitant about finishing on fourth line, which is what the shape wants. There's still a big opening here. Big gap, and this is not real at all. There's, you know, this big hole here. It's just awkward. So this effect is almost always finished on third line. Often always when it doesn't fit well with 03. This is specialty Shiseki. And the regular one it's just not seated well to the bottom. So I think the left side is pretty much the only way. Teach him basics, but let's make a change and kick it off to one of the exits. Yeah, 2.15. Now, we can't make a change because there's pretty much only one response that I can see. The top's small, they're not going to play regular. The left is the big area. So that means we're going to pinch. So, am I, does everyone understand these definitions, basic move, change? We're talking about third line and fourth line. So, Ziz, however you pronounce your XIX thing, what don't you understand? Someone give me a, oh, change. Change is playing a totally valid move that is not the biggest. This is something I tell you all the time. Everyone knows the biggest move, but they don't play it. They play something that's huge, but not literally biggest. And as long as your move is huge, then, in the category of the biggest grouping of moves possible, then no one can prove you wrong. It's not the biggest, but it's in the category of the biggest move. It's not in the next category of pretty big moves. So then you're losing something. Okay. So there's no reason to treat one of these five stones on the left differently than the other. So the center move is the one that makes is the most basic move. So we're going to kick it off, which is a valid change, but it's not bigger. White pinch, lots of options. White is going to look forward to this move. With this move in mind, I'm going to throw away a black stone. So you do this all the time, so I can see where my next white stone should go. I'm a bit tempted to play high, as I'm developing a big white area here. So that's going to be my choice, this pinch. I'm looking at the left, I'm looking at the bottom, and I'm seeing the whole thing developing, not just. If only the left is developing, then I might pitch the pinch low, or even tight low. D10 is reasonable. I don't see a problem with this. This would be a valid change. But D11 is the same idea. It's bigger, applying more pressure. So it's doing more. And I'm going to shoot. Someone tell me black pitch is moving. F14 is going too far. C17. Okay, so pretty much people are talking about. Oh, let's get D16 out of the way. We know this rule about when you want to settle, corner first, side second, center third. But there's something that comes before all of those, and that is don't get savage. So if we want this stone to settle, step one, get out, and don't get savage. Now the other idea is we don't want that stone to settle. So A is a way to settle locally, which may well give that stone up. And D is the way to settle locally without giving that stone up. The D13 is actually for that doesn't work right here. Let me just change that real quick. Now's the time for the diagonal step. Split side, very settled. It's not something I'm sure I've ever seen based on the 4-4. Okay, where am I? Here I am. F16. here's another way. Let's look at something. Let's start with the A options. Getting away from basic and changes, and we're going to look at some specific ideas. Let's look at the future. This is a very standard perspective we've all seen so many times. Locally, it's great. Rush has 10 solid points of territory and less. Price has 0 points and only has basic time. No points at all. So Black loves this perspective. Price only profit is 10 cents, which Price is happy with. So that's the reason the corner works so well, the 3-3 works so well, is the effect is really in Black's favor. Now, the bad news, when we look at the top, we have those two wellstones that aren't working very well together. So, when you're in that position, little position techie that works a little better. And someone mentions F-16. I think they did. Oh, they mentioned F-17. If you want the top to work together more fluidly, I'm having some lag here, so I'm tricking myself. Come on. Now, Black top area, we have that high-low wave that tends to be more efficient. And of course, Black gets extra stuff on the left, but Black is better on the top. So this is a great perspective to know. Let's look at that same deal, but with the tight pinch. Because again, it's the same thing. The perspective change is just a touch, though. Same idea, slightly different Shiseki. You see this Shiseki done a lot in pro games, and there's a file for Black, most of you know it already. Anytime Black wants, and it's most common done right away, Black gets this in Sensei, and this in Sensei. Now, those are only forcing moves, and they're all cuttable and everything, but clearly, if they cut close to the top, and in endgame, Black even gets this. So, for all these reasons, Black loves this Shiseki. You see this a lot in pro games. Okay. We're here. And the question is, which area is bigger, the top or the left? That's what's going to help us choose A or B. Okay. Misty thinks that the left area is bigger. A few people think the top is bigger, but most everyone thinks the left is bigger, and by all means the left is bigger, because of the weakness, White can play N3, White has the center already, and all the white stones are all talking about the left. So we'll play, I think the other one might be an actual mistake. White may be actually to gain. So far, all these different changes in basic moves are going to gain or something making equal changes. White's not going to make a change, White's going to play basic. Black's not going to make a change, Black's going to play basic. Let's look at Black's possible change. That would be good. Creates a near situation. We either surround or mark him, surround White with A, or attack with B. But the reason I don't like it is because White's just prepared in this area. Black could get in some trouble. Now, I'm not ready to commit to saying this is bad Black, but I'm not about to play this in my game. There's too many white stones around. Black's just begging for an uneven fight. And I'm not a strong enough player to read all this out and say, this is fine or this is bad. All I know is, it seems risky to me. And why be so risky? We can just settle. No risk at all.
So we succeeded in carving out Price's main area very nicely. And we're sort of settled, as we can say. Okay, so we're trying to try next to basic books.
Spin. Three. Nice big move. I know it's my move, but I want someone to help me pinch it through. She's 17. Quite big. I like the way it says that. She's a pain. Like this. G13. G13 is quite foolish. Okay. Good enough. Let's look at R-Rose 3. Those are the three moves you're thinking about. Q12. Remember, it's undercut here. Very hard to develop this area when it's undercut. That was R12. Or they say Q12. Same thing, even if it's just not, it's just a bad area. Hard to develop. Okay, let me mark them. A, B, and C. K14? Someone's hearing me about K14. K14 is another move. Okay. Let's start with D. Some of you may not know this, but pretty much approach this is a common Giuseppe, and this is associated with it. There's a couple variations, but the most basic ones played all the time. So if I could play this in 10 seconds, and no reason to play all this unless you're going to finish it up. And in this case, I might like it here. Hard to find a good finishing move here. So we check out what happens, and one thing we notice is we made black absolutely alive. That's a negative. The good news is we've done something on the left. I think it's pretty vague what we've done on the left. Still, black can just play in here. Black can play this way. Just lots of logic. This pattern for white is generally played when, let me get back to this. For instance, there's black stones over here. And black's looking for an invasion point. So white may just play this way. And try to, this is generally used for invasions rather than actual building of territory. So we're going to pass by D. He's not. Black is going to get messed with, so he'll probably come out. Notice. Ooh, I made a mistake. I'm going to say, notice that this no longer works. Because when black plays here, I can't play it 04. But just to try for the reason, notice that it's black that can't play there, not white. So black has to come up with another move, which would be perhaps this way. Now it doesn't work. But I hate this move. It's a nothing move. Doesn't affect one at all. Doesn't get out. Good call by Larry. Salty. Yeah, this black move serves almost no purpose. So I'd rather play it this way than that way. I'm not saying this is the best move. I'm pointing out different ways of looking at how to respond. One idea is to not respond. Go about our business, making a big move somewhere, and let white have the move. Go ahead and realize, and we get to move away. But that's a lot of bright stones. Bright has made a lot of thickness in that whole area now. I don't like that. So here we are looking at different ways of handling this. One way is to do it in simple. You take it in simple. That's probably the best way here. And that's looking reasonable. We like this. And still, black can come in casually, so it's not special. But it's not like white hates it. And now let's look at A. I'm going to vote that A's biggest. Because you have to look around at the desires of the stone. And the only desire I see on the board is S16. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. Less. I'm going to remove the A. Let's move the A being true. Stone D. Who says, I'm done. I don't want to grow anymore. So his desire is finished. Frank has no desire. Virgil's desire is 10 on the bottom. C4 does say, I want to spend along the side. But that's a pretty simple little desire. For that, we're going to play a game. But that's a single stone's desire. And that's no big deal. On the right, Black likes extending. But again, Black's right there, really diminishing the desire. But the F16 stone, let's check this out. Look at that. White's behind in the line. White's territory is just about to go away. White's life is in question because White has a position based on the fourth line. And his desire is to come down. So this is really awkward for White. White needs to come out. White may just get aggressive if he wants to. I mean, this is perfect White. So White has a pretty strong desire here. And he finished that out. Okay, let's pause a moment. How does that sound? You guys understand that? Does that make sense? I think this A, B, and C was really good to see. How to choose A, B, and C. Out of all the others. And then once we have our three choices, how to choose between them. This stuff, if you spend time in your goal looking at these basic things, it's really going to help you in your game. Keepers will tend to play this way. Which is silly. It's like, it's not a safe zone. It can't go through for it. It's like can come under. They don't look, spend time to look at the issues in the area or the desired zones in the area. Okay. One last question. So I can extend to A or E. And E is often the better choice. A is, it's like half the time. I mean, these are the two ways. So the question is, how do you feel about Black playing this in center? I don't think Black's all that happy with that move. Matter of fact, I think Black is happier. With Black White Exchange, N17, K15, I think it looks better for White. So I don't think Black's worried about this. Now, I'm going to change some stones. Yes, working like so well. Now I'm going to change some stones. I love to change stones because it defines things so well. All of a sudden, I could go back. Check that. So let's replay it with this new Shimari. Now, I don't like this move. Because it gives this Black a very promising forcing move. So we're going to remove the center. Now the Black plays it's not center. We can just come in and do whatever we want. We can invade, we can do whatever we choose. So I think that's a good example of how to look at this situation. But because of the direction of the Shimari, we're going to call it full extension. And one more thing to notice, it's awesome. It takes our big area and makes it bigger. Now, I'm not saying we're going to play it right away, but we like it, and Black doesn't like it, so this is good on a number level. Okay, what's Black's basic move here? Yes, that's all true. Now and then, I ask you guys to help me with my move. When my move holds something basic and good to see, I like to share it. So we see both colors. And the correct way to think and go is not your color, but the board. When we're thinking of big areas, we're thinking of just the board. We're not thinking of group big area. When we're thinking of weakness, we're not thinking of our weakness, we're thinking of everybody's weakness. So
don't think about clicks. Think about the board. Your flat surface on top, right, is down the side. Why is K17 good for white? K17. Okay. We touched on that, but let's clarify. First, last position, Hishimari was finished. He had Hishimari. He can use it, but there's no need at all. It's only a plus. White's position is unfinished. White has an actual need. White's desire, his desire and need. He's dealt with all that at Suda. So, if indeed we take away last desire, remember, we're not gaining anything because it's very hard to develop this area. And black actually punishes us. So, the difference is a need versus a desire. Okay, so white's playing here. Was talking about black in this move, I bet. Yeah, F3 for short.
Another idea for black stuff? So far, I've been talking about A, B, and C. Our games around B are a bit questionable. Not out of the question. But since white's right there, it gets a bit tough to develop the B area. So A, B, and C, let's look at them. Pretty hard to see what the basic move is here. Things getting a bit complex. Let's start with B. When we look at the basic flow, this is a very unpleasant line we drew. Very low looking, unappealing. Black doesn't have a desire to develop the right, and for black to beat him to the punch. That's strange logic. Since white doesn't want to play there, black rushes to beat white there. That's illogical. No does. See, and that's confusing too. Okay. He thinks white does want to develop the right. Oh, no, white can't develop the right well. We touched on that. It's very open. Hard to develop. It's the undercut is a bit nasty. Okay, so this basic line that I pointed out, it's out very low, and that alone says that it's just not good. Now, if you look at A, we are low on the bottom, granted, and that's less than perfect. But it is a developable area. It becomes that. Developable. Developable. So this seems to be okay. There's no horrible line. It's inefficient, but a lot of times in GO you come across things that aren't perfect. They're not bad, they're just not perfect. Let's look at the 3-3. G3 is one of these moves. The black white exchange, tight with the whole corner, black gets something. Black could get something, but again, white's getting much more than black. So, see, all 98% of the time, that's a bad move. Look at the corner. White's looking awfully nice. Black asking white to fill that area where white has his fifth toss ready to hit at M3. Risky. So I think because M3 is so powerful, it gives extra desire to play in this area. So my guess is this is the right way to go. Let me remind you guys of something. I got the biggest kick out of this when I first discovered it. I took some games that I didn't understand for Jujo. Most of you know who Jujo is. Jujo game. I like to call him the great Jujo game because he's known as a hero when he's back in his heyday. He's still amongst the strongest. And I brought him these 7-Dan games saying, you know, I clearly misunderstand GO. Could you please show me? Because moves do not make sense to me. So I showed him moves, and I showed him my problem. He says, look, all the moves are bad, and what you're suggesting is the right way of looking at it. And I said, how can that be? There's 7-Dan. How can it possibly play so bad? He said, it's okay, possibly. And I got such a shot of that. So remember this thing that 7-Dan, to me, that's a big thing, 7-Dan. They don't know what they're doing because they're amateurs. So get used to this idea that as hard as you try and as much as you study, unless you're a pro, you're going to be making guesses. They're going to be better and better guesses. Your discernment will get better, your reading will get better, but you're going to be playing mostly mistakes your whole life. Now, that's good and that's bad. That's good because it shows the depth of GO. GO is incredibly difficult. Frighteningly difficult. It's amazing how difficult GO is and how deep it is. The bad news is, sometimes I feel like giving up. I mean, gosh, as hard as I try, I can't get the basics flowing as well as I'd like. Pros, let's spend a moment talk about that. I almost hit you, but let's try to get brief. Let's just talk about pros just for a moment. Let's take someone at my level. We'll call my level 6-Dan. And let's make them 10 years old, and let's make them way more talented than me. And I'm not talking about a little more talented, I'm talking about a lot more talented than me. Let's take that bright, flexible mind and plug them into serious GO study for years. And I'm talking serious GO study for years. Then they might become pro. So you can see this intensity of the professional field. It's really something to behold. Okay, enough said of that. Price move. C6. Yeah. Just the incredible lowness of that whole shape made it completely undesirable. Hope you remember that line I drew. Since it's a question, I did remove the line. Let me put it back there. Boom, 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 boom. That whole line is incredibly inefficient.
you can take away that one black cell, and have this perfect little efficient shape that settles in the story. 13-11, done. Very efficient. But you start adding low cells, it becomes bad. Josh Ruskin, whoever that is. Okay. So we're deciding on A. Ah. Yeah. Different from the master. International master. That's kicking it in. Ooh. International master. Okay, black's going to play basic here. And black is also just going to finish things off and play very basic. Rough reads the basic, and I don't see a good way to make any changes. It's a bit awkward. Okay, white's move. And now our decision is going to get a little bit difficult. There's A, which is an easy decision. Looks good. Goes to top. Removes the sentry card by black. K4. We'll look at B. C10. No. C10's not worth looking at. White's doing nothing. White's developing 0 points. Black's getting more points. White's developing a wall that can't go anywhere. White got nothing. Absolutely nothing. So that's White developing an area that just can't be developed. If White wanted to do it, it would be this pattern again. But again, it's just not very big. We created 3 or 4 points. 6 points top, very small. Sorry, I'm looking for things that I say aren't worth looking at. I'm very cute. Let me get my marker out again. G14. That grows the top area. It's already done. Can one chop up the lower side, or is it too small like M3? Too small. That's interesting. Let's look at the difference between B and C, invading or reducing. C is a difficult invasion, and it's a small area. And if we simply reduce, we've grown 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 points. That's more than black got. So a lot of times reducing is bigger than invading, and this is a good example of that. And then the right side. How about G4? That's building. When we reduced with N4, we saw 10 points easy, and could easily develop into 20 or 30 points. I mean, it really develops a nice big area. But G4, let's do it correctly. Correctly would be H4, which is the pattern. I don't like white area. Something about it is very unappealing, very hard to grow. I think the difference is, let's go back to the beginning and look at the difference. White has this position, I'm marking it on the right, which desires more zones and tends to build well. On the left, we have one weak zone to help build. So one weak zone or the position that wants it more. So that's why I think the one shoulder hit is better than the other. One shoulder hit. Let me mark it. D is bigger than trying to build a wall with E. I would still feel, to me, grab the point on the right. Granted, right, left open area, and probably best at this point. Like Mr. Yang says, when you're in the opening, play opening moves. And at this point, we're still in the opening.
and reducing around gene and things like that, that's middle-gene. So I think it is time for the right or A. And the right is so much wider, I hate not playing it. And yet A gets out. I don't know, R12. Yeah. Let's look at this. Let's look at R12. Let's look at two variations. Because this is a difficult choice. Especially for key players, they have the dark, they don't know how to even look at it. So let's look at R12 for a moment. And we'll look at two variations. One, this guy. We'll do a very slow in game. This side area is really quite small. And black picks up two plus points on the bottom and 6 points on top. Almost 10 points for black, and white doesn't even have 10 points yet. It's really hard to develop. Now we're going to look at one other variation. Set face my thunder and run out and split one. It's very dangerous for white. White can't double up top there, not enough room. And going closer, making way, this hard. This is hard for everybody. Get some luck. Right here. Jeremiah. Okay. When I've learned to separate a run with a nice move, stop that, make me so happy. This is really difficult for white. And of course, when white plays here, it becomes a terribly bad move. Black just takes it away. So the red is really popular. We could try something aggressive, go all the way. This really affects black. Black does not want this position. Now he's getting congested and surrounded. So black will respond. White will want to respond. And again, black can just come in. I think black can play this. And everything will be fine. And fight weak again. This is the problem. This right side is still hard for white to develop. Every variation we look at is awkward. 2, 11. There's really nothing there. So I would go with A because it's practical, it's real, it removes the second play by black, and all like that. Maybe N 17 first. This is 08. A bit unactable now. Maybe. What about S 16? Oh, yeah. This is, I think that's the whole point we're getting to. Some draft came up with this move, which is very insightful. This may not be the best move at this point. First black to declare what's going on. Let's look at this a little bit. We've really gone away from our basic course today, which is basics and changes. But when you get into middle game, you tend to get away from those concepts. The game tends to be a little more one line. Okay, let's look at this pro. Yoshimaru, I believe it's called. If fight takes the corner. If fight takes the corner. You get another pushing move. And all of a sudden, the entire right side is much easier to develop. Now what does black do? If we look at the exact same sequence, black develops quite nice. We're not saying it's grand, but it's efficient. We've done something very powerful and simple. Yeah, that's nice. Good going, Chicola. What if black takes the outside? Or black is good. There's no outside. White's alive in the corner. And black's outside. White's up there. Black can't do anything outside. He can do something, but it's not. He's not prepared for the outside. What else can black do? Black can play this way. Okay. Same thing. Black's being passive now.
no reason to be passive. Yeah, no reason to be passive. The black would have to kick the corner. This is an excellent thought. That's a complex question that PH just asked. Of course, we have to look at we are attacking black or attacking bright, or where color does come into it. But when we're looking, for instance, at this point, we're looking in the A area, we're looking on the right, and we're looking potentially at the bottom. Those are the areas, and if we start deciding which is best, we clearly have to look at color. But we don't look at color when we say who's weak. We just look for weak groups, whatever color they are. And when we look for area, we don't ask what color, we're simply looking for big area. Okay, that's the thing that's just straight off that. No more question moves. It's just you created a heavy group that can't do anything. While we're here, we're going to look at this exchange, and we're going to look at this move again. I think he meant F15O. Okay, right? Sorry about that. You're absolutely right. And that's what we're looking at, the left. If I say cross cut, black is going to split. That's all right. These are all fours. And now I have a few options. Let's start with this forcing move, and then a connection. I think white's doing well. Black now has the burden of coming in. So in all cases, the probe asks a good question. Yeah. The only question is, does it work now? If black plays this way, he's going to get the corner. If black plays this way, well, let's not sometimes look through all of it. There's a lot of ladders, a lot of things. But I think the overall is, why worry about it? Let's play it now. Because we clearly, the right side is the biggest area. We just don't know how to play there. And the proverb that says, when you don't know where to play, use your pencil. This has gotten me out of countless jams. So we play our pencil. Black is going to take the corner. White knows the next move. Black fixes. White settles. Looks good. Okay, we have about 5 minutes left. Does someone have questions about things we talked about today? If there is something that I'm not seeing floating around, some unanswered thing that I've assumed that someone else hasn't even thought of or something, pop it out if you have something. If I get something soon, I'll finish the last 5 minutes with continuing on here. How about the H-17 invasion? Black jump, R9. Okay. We're going to look at two black invasions. That's two black invasions. A, B, and a white invasion round C. These are all difficult invasions. Not impossible. I'm not ready to say this stone's dead. Nor this stone. Nor this stone. But they're all difficult. Bottom line is, if the difficulty is worth it, then do it. Generally speaking, why do you want to go do something difficult? If it's difficult, that means if moves are easy, that equals profit. Moves are difficult, which equals no profit.
So find a world where you want to create a weak group and trouble for yourself. Life losing moves should be difficult worth knowing. I don't understand that. So let's start with A. How's possible to make center points in this game? So far it's not. Black spots connect under. White removes that. Black runs out. Okay. Now we notice that white is weak element, which makes this possible. White, if white wants safety, white will play this way. A lot of stuff here. Let's go with this. White connected, black reduced. Yeah. But black can play how many points? 6? And now black has a weak group. That's usually not worth it. This didn't do anything. Yeah, when you make changes, it makes the game more complex. Good insight. Pros like that. Complex, another way of saying complex is it creates options. Pros love options. Keep your options open. As the game progresses, flexibility, you can go so many directions. Nothing happens, you can do something else. They love that these options stay open, so they love the changes. Basic moves tend to settle this, settle the next one, settle the next one. It tends to be a boring game. Now, I tell my students, learn to play Go and Go. That's step one. Learn to play Go with class. Yeah, Mickey. Some of the people do not know the first moves about boring. So, yeah, these things are possible, but they're not beneficial. Similarly here, black just, let's just say black lives. And black the white. But all of a sudden, white can use this and develop a grand center. White might get everything back. I'm putting down some made up moves, but only found with the variations. But you can see that if black takes something that's difficult, white won't get something in exchange that's easy. And it's just not worth it. Let's make a change here. Now it's different. It's easier, and we have a goal, like we. Or, let's look at A again, and let me remove a couple stones. Now, invasion down here is a good idea. Fight's in pretty big trouble. As a matter of fact, we're going to change something and run in a way where white can't connect under. So, when there's a future, it becomes easier and more profitable. But if there's no future, then it's just weak and difficult. Okay, hopefully we caught some things today. Thank you everyone for coming. Hope we had a good time and understood things. And hope to see you next time. Okay, see you all later. And don't forget, this is publicly funded. We've got 30 left that are paid for. And anyone who wants to like this stuff, people have been emailing me and asking me what's a reasonable charge. Yeah, we've had 83, 63, and one was around 50, I think. I'm not sure about that one. It's a good question. How much is valid? let's see. When we take 5 minutes, now that the lecture's over, we take 5 minutes beforehand to chat. Let me take 5 minutes after to chat too. And we'll chat about money. When we first started out, I had a group of students and friends that wanted to do something nice for me because I'm always helping on KCF.
and they were just, you know, I do that all the time. And so they wanted to help me out. So they said, how about we set this thing up that'll give Shiglitz advertisement and help the entire KGS coalition. And it was just a wonderful idea. It was just terribly nice of them. And they got together and gave a nice sum of money for public lessons. And so what I wanted to do in response to such a kind offer was to use a one-on-one rate, which is $25 an hour. My group rate is much higher than that. And I've taught groups for years and years and years. So I decided to start out my first series of lessons with my one-on-one, just to honor that great kindness that they did. But at some point, I'm guessing probably around lesson 30, I'm going to switch to my regular group lesson rates. But the question is, how much should I charge for group? Usually what I do, one-on-one, 25 an hour. Two people, 30 an hour. Three people, 35. Group is 40. That's my normal. But groups have always gone from 6 to 10. But KGS, we're having 8. So some people say, triple your rate. I don't know what I should do. It's a win-win situation. You know, I don't have to go anywhere. I get to sit home. Everyone enjoys it. I enjoy it. So I don't want to, you know, make a killing or anything. So if someone has ideas about what I should charge, let me know. Shiglitz@halfbell.net. As far as what to pay, here we are having 80 people. If it's worth it, that's $80 an hour, I guess. That doubles my normal group rate. And it's cheap for you guys. To me, that's something that tends to flow kind of naturally. I really don't know. Again, I don't want to be a mongrel or anything like that. But that gives some landmark as to how to think about money in this situation. Speaking, if you have ideas, send them to me. If you have money, send it to me. PayPal app, and you'll see my info. In the room sign. So that's our chatting. Send ideas if you have them. And good, that's it. Okay. Thanks again. Goodbye again. And we'll see you all later.